Thank you. Enjoy the cantata last week. That was fantastic. And it was a wonderful testimony and song, I think, to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this morning we are continuing in our series of sermons entitled Mythbusters. We're looking at a variety of spiritual myths that people believe in, on which they build their lives. And today's message, I think, I hope will get you to think a little bit. Whether you're totally convinced or not about what I'm sharing today, I truly believe there's a very important message for us today, because we need to be looking, we always are desiring to discover God's will for our lives and for our church. You know, this is a year of transition. Among those things happening this year, I'm going to be retiring at the end of this year. I hope we as a church are praying for God's leadership in bringing a new pastor on board. And today I want us to talk about, you know, how do we make major decisions in our lives, in our church? As Christians, most of us experience, I think, a kind of a heightened sense of interest in discovering God's will at certain points of time in our lives. And it's not that we don't care about God's will the rest of the time. It's just that when you make a choice about big things, job opportunities, selecting a college, determining the future of a romantic relationship, deciding where to live, determining the future of a church or the calling of a pastor, we don't want to blow it. We don't want to blow those decisions. So we seek God's will at those times with extra fervor in our lives. We pray for it. We ask about it. We search for God's will. We do those things in the hope that what God wants us to do will be made clear to us. And so simply put, this message today is about determining God's will for the future. And the question I want to ask today as we move forward in our series of sermons is, does God have a blueprint for my life? Does God have a blueprint for the future of the church? Or does he give us a game plan for the future? Does he give us a blueprint? We'll talk about what that means. Or is there some sort of a combination of both, a kind of a blueprint that God has for us, a game plan on how we are to approach the future? And Ephesians 5:17 is a verse of Scripture that is just a very quick verse for us to think about. It says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And I think that for all of us as Christians, that is a desire of our hearts, isn't it? To understand what the will of the Lord is. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we consider this question today. Does God have a blueprint for my life? Father, we come to you today, and it is our desire as Christians always to live and to do according to your will. It is to seek your purposes, to seek your will. And Father, I pray that as we consider this matter today, that Lord, we try to understand better how do we discern? How do we discern your will? How do we come to understand it? And I pray today that this message will help us to think about that issue for our own lives, that issue for our church. I pray, Father, that we might stretch our thinking just a little bit about how God reveals his will to us. And Lord, I simply pray today that as we consider this matter of your will, that you will speak to our hearts as individuals and as a church to be committed to the following and the doing of your will in all things. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So big decisions in your life. How do you determine God's will in those big decisions. There's two metaphors that people often use for thinking about God's will. You may not have used these terms necessarily, but a lot of times, whether we voice it or not, we use two different metaphors about determining God's will. God has a plan for my life. How do we determine that plan? Is it a blueprint? Or does God give us a game plan? We're going to examine that a little bit more fully in a few moments. And neither of those, of course, are things that you're going to find in the Bible. You're not going to find the word blueprint. You're not going to find the word game plan in the Bible. But for most Christians, most of us have ways of thinking about determining God's will. And it usually will fall into one of these two categories, as we shall see. How do you determine God's will? You know, people use several different tactics in order to determine the will of God. Some folks kind of put out the play the fleece game, like Gideon. You remember Gideon in the Old Testament over in Joshua chapter 6, 36 and 40. God had told Gideon that he would use him to rescue the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, from their enemies. And Gideon placed a sheepskin on the ground and said that he would believe that it was God's will if God would allow only the fleece to be wet with dew but not the ground the next morning. God did it. Gideon wasn't quite yet convinced, so he asked God to do just the opposite the next night, and God did it. And, you know, sometimes you hear people talk about, well, you know, I kind of laid out a fleece before God to help determine, to make a decision in some area of their lives. And we understand the desire of that, don't we? We want the process of determining God's will to be real quick and easy, don't we? We want it to be crystal clear. And yet we realize that God doesn't always deal with us the same way he dealt with Gideon. Determining God's will for a situation, in any situation, may not be as quick and easy as it was for Gideon, who received basically a miracle from God to show him his direction. Other people do some other things, some that are a little crazy. Some like to play Bible roulette. You know, flip through the pages of Scripture until they find a passage that seems to speak directly to their situation, and that can be dangerous. And there's an old joke, I've told it before, but it's such a good one, you gotta share it, and some of you have never heard it before. One fellow was seeking guidance in his life. He decided he just flipped through the passages of the Bible, stopping at a random page, point his finger at a passage. Wherever the finger landed, he would take that passage as God's word for him. So the first passage his finger lands on is Judas went out and hanged himself. And seeing that, he's a little bit confused, a little bit afraid, so he tries again. He flips some more pages, and he puts the finger down, and it says, go and do thou likewise. And he is really baffled, and he tries a third time, and it says, whatever you do, do so quickly. It can be pretty dangerous to do the Bible flipping thing. And I think many other people do some things that I think are a little bit more sensible than that. We seek a sense of inner peace to show us the way through prayer, through fact-finding, and even wise counsel. But even these things are not so easy. Inner peace. Well, it kind of depends on how you define inner peace. Because, sometimes doing God's will can make you just a little bit nervous and anxious. Operating by faith means that we are obedient to Christ, whether or not we know the outcome. And sometimes being obedient to Christ can cause some personal pain and suffering and struggle. Are we at peace doing the will of God regardless of the outcome? Or do we have to find peace by making sure that the outcome is something we like? Even when we seek a sense of inner peace through prayer, fact-finding, wise counsel, even then it's not all that easy to determine a course of action to specific situations. In fact, the longer I've lived, let's see, I don't need a Dell update. Let me get rid of that. Remind me later, okay? The longer I have lived, the longer I have thought, in some ways, finding God's will is both important and at times elusive. It is important for obvious reasons. Anytime God has a specific plan or a preference in mind, really, only a fool would ignore that, right? Only a fool would ignore God's plans. A bigger fool would even openly defy God's plans. And I think, you know, all you have to do is ask Jonah about that. You know, he tried to defy God's plan, and he discovered that defiance of God's will isn't really a good option, right? God will make his way known. And I bet, I would imagine that you all have found that when you know you're clearly outside of God's will, that's not a good plan, right? You've been there. I've been there. We understand that. But God's will is also elusive, isn't it? How many times have you just wished that God would write out in the clouds, you know, like a sky writer, you know, the answer to your decision, you know, marry the girl, or go to Harvard, or go to Yale, or Cal Community College, move to the other side of the country and take the job. Don't take the job. How many times have we just wished that God would spell it out in the clouds for us? And this raises a question, I think, for us. If God's will is so important, which it obviously is, why is it sometimes so hard to find? And I think there's a surprising answer to that question. And it's an answer, really, that's really right under our nose. And the answer is, guess what? God's will isn't all that hard to find. You see, most of God's will is spelled out in black and white on the pages of the Bible, isn't it? It's not hidden from us. We've just come off of Easter, Easter egg hunts. There's no cosmic Easter egg hunt required to see who can find God's will and who gets an empty basket. Many of us approach understanding God's will from what one individual called a kind of an Easter egg hunt perspective. For some of us, no matter how hard we search, we keep coming back with an empty basket. We haven't found the answer we're looking for. And here's why. In many cases, we're just simply looking for the wrong thing. We're like a young child who mistakenly thinks that Easter eggs are square and polka dotted, and so they walk right past the very thing they want most, Easter eggs, all the while looking for something that doesn't exist. And the problem, I think, stems from a faulty assumption that many of us have had for a long time. We've been led to believe that God has a highly detailed blueprint for our lives that includes a specific preordained job, career, house, car, spouse, school to attend, and everything in between. We spend a lot of time looking for that special person, that special place or thing that we think God has set aside for us. And it's the elusive square Easter egg we're hunting for that maybe really doesn't exist. You see, the idea of a detailed blueprint for our life is not always the case, I believe. It confuses God's omniscience, his all-knowing, with his divine will. Certainly God knows our future. He knows past, present, and future, does he not? There's no question that God knows everything, even down to the numbers of hairs on your head. But that doesn't mean he has a plan for how many hairs are on your head. He knows the future, but that doesn't mean he determines everything that happens or that he has a blueprint for every event that takes place. I think we have confused a blueprint with a game plan. And let's talk about what the difference between those two things would be. So finding God's will isn't that hard at all, especially if you're looking for square Easter eggs, okay? We need to be looking for the right thing when we start looking for God's will. So consider how a blueprint works. For many of us, the idea of God has a blueprint plan for my life is the metaphor we use for determining God's will. Consider how a blueprint works. A blueprint contains a specific set of instructions. Spells out everything in detail, doesn't it? It's so specific that anyone with the ability to read and follow a blueprint can build exactly what the architect had in mind. But imagine a builder who doesn't agree with the architect's design and ignores the parts of the blueprint he doesn't like or understand. If a builder takes shortcuts or does it another way, what happens? He gets fired, and another contractor is brought in to correct the mistakes he made, and then it's built right. You don't ignore blueprints, do you? You don't ignore blueprints. You follow them. And for many of us, the blueprint has become a metaphor of how we determine God's will. God has a blueprint from our life from which we are not at all to deviate. A game plan is very different than a blueprint. Rather than spelling out everything in detail, a game plan sets forth general guidelines and principles with some freedom and flexibility for adjustments as the situation unfolds. And so let's use football as an example. For every play in a game plan, there are some on-the-fly adjustments that can be made, aren't there? That are kind of built in. You know, a play might start out as a pass play, but it might turn into a running play if all of the opposing linebackers blitz or if none of your receivers are open. And so maybe the quarterback takes plan B and he tucks the ball in and he heads for the sidelines. The quarterback who is going to follow plan A, even when all of his receivers are covered and he throws the ball and gets intercepted, that quarterback is going to be ending up on the bench most of the time if he consistently does that. There's some freedom, freedom in how the situation unfolds. And a quarterback can't just do as he pleases. He can run out of bounds, but he can't come back in bounds and then run down to the goal line and score a touchdown. That isn't allowed. There are certain rules of the game, but there are a lot of options. If plan A breaks down, the quarterback is expected to try something else. That's not how a blueprint works. Plan A is the plan. In a blueprint, a game plan allows for many different freedoms and options. And the question is our life like a blueprint? Does God have an immutable, unchangeable plan A for each one of us? Or does he give us a freedom for us to take multiple choices that include plan B? And, you know, sometimes we could be uncomfortable with the idea that God may not have a completely detailed blueprint for our lives. We've kind of accepted the fact that, you know, in many ways, the idea that, God has a plan for our lives, and we think it's all spelled out. But think about some situations in that regard. By the way, we're going to get to some scripture in a few minutes, okay? We're going to get to some scripture. But I want you to understand the concept. You know, what happens in this fallen world? What happens when other people decide to ignore God's blueprints for their lives? What happens when other people choose to ignore God's blueprints in their lives? Some things are inconsequential. It's not so bad if God has a plan for you to take a certain parking place and somebody else takes it. That's no big deal. But what if they buy the house that God picked out for you? What if they cheated on an employment exam and took a job that we were supposed to have? What if we chose the wrong school to attend? What happens in a moment of spiritual rebellion when Joe Christian dates and marries the wrong woman? You know, if God doesn't allow these things to happen, we're no more than puppets on strings, aren't we? If God doesn't allow us to deviate from a plan A, we're no more than puppets on a string. But if he does allow us freedom, just imagine what happens with Joe Christian, who in a moment of spiritual rebellion marries the wrong woman. The poor girl Joe was supposed to marry is stuck. Her blueprint's ruined forever. The guy who was originally supposed to marry the woman that Joe married, well, his blueprint's all messed up as well. And unless the girl Joe was supposed to marry and the guy Joe's new wife should have married, unless they either stay single or marry one another, Joe could have started a chain reaction that would eventually mess up marriages worldwide. Wow! Wow! Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sometimes, you know, God does have very specific blueprint plans for us. He told Hosea to marry Gomer. He told Moses and the children of Israel where to camp, when to move during their wanderings in the wilderness. He sent Jeremiah to a potter's house and told him to watch for an object lesson. Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Follow me." He had a plan for them. He changed the Apostle Paul's itinerary, wouldn't allow him to go into Asia Minor. Instead, he was to go to Macedonia. These kind of explicit instructions are not universal, though, in the scripture. They actually seem to be more the exception than the norm. I believe we have much greater freedom than any blueprint allows in the scriptures. That means the details of God's will sometimes are hard to find simply because many times there are multiple options which are perfectly acceptable to God. Which choice should I make? I believe God gives us the freedom to sometimes for him to say, take your pick. When you buy I'll give you a silly example. When you buy a car, you need not spend hours in prayer determining whether the car be red or blue. Take your pick. And in many other situations, we may also have such great latitude. You see, God is not so concerned with where we work. Now, of course, it needs to be an honorable profession, obviously. according to the scriptures. But he's not so much concerned about where we work so much as he cares about how we work. Do we give a full day's work for a full day's pay? Are we good witnesses while we are in the workplace? He doesn't care so much where we live. Scriptures don't seem to be so concerned about where we live so much as how we live. And it could even apply to marriage. God has blessed me with Diane as my wife for 45. We'll have our 45th wedding anniversary this year. And it has, and God has blessed us in so many different ways. But you know, it's interesting how that marriage worked out. I chose Diane to be my bride. Or at least she allows me to think that until she caught me or something like that, okay? But I chose Diane to be my bride. But for centuries, marriages were arranged by parents. There were different ways of marriages to come about. Could it be that God is not so interested in who we marry, as long as it's another Christian, the scripture tells us, as he is concerned about how we do marriage, how we live out the biblical injunctions about a husband loving his wife like Christ loved the church, or a wife submitting to her husband. Now again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It certainly follows that when we're faced with some big decision, we should stop, we should check the scriptures, ask if God has any specific input. If he does, either through the scriptures or through the Holy Spirit leading us, we should do exactly what God says, but we shouldn't be surprised when he is silent on a matter and he says, it's your call. In fact, there are some downsides to a blueprint mentality. The first side effect is paralyzing fear. Lots of Christians with a blueprint mentality toward God's will are petrified at making a mistake. In the belief there's only one right choice for every major area of life, it paralyzes their decision making. And as a result, we can end up hesitating, overthinking, rejecting lots of good and acceptable options. Some have termed this thinking as paralysis by analysis. Should I serve in Awana? I've been asked to serve in Awana, but I haven't gotten a sign from God, so I guess I won't. Should I sing in the choir? Man, I don't have a sign from God. You know, when we're expecting God to write out in the sky every decision, sometimes we omit taking steps that would be honoring and a blessing to God simply because we are paralyzed, afraid we might make the wrong decision. Guess what? I have made some wrong decisions in my life. Have you? And because of God's redeeming grace, because of Jesus' death on the cross to cover my mistakes and my sins, he can even use my mistakes and my failures for his good, can't he? Paralyzing fear. You know, if the Bible tells us to do something, by all means, we should do it right away. But if not, there's times when we haven't heard a clear word from the Lord, but we shouldn't allow that to paralyze us into doing nothing, because doing nothing clearly is not God's will either. And sometimes he allows us to just make the best choice we can and move on and see how he's going to use that for his glory. And I think even more importantly, sometimes a blueprint mentality tends to turn our focus more towards finding God's will than becoming the person God wants to be, us to be, by living simply a life of obedience. Instead of worrying about the weightier matters of godliness and justice and mercy and obedience, we fixate on finding the right career or finding the right house or finding the right job. And you know, those kind of decisions aren't really as important as a life of daily obedience to Jesus. Consider people who pray about God's will concerning marrying a particular person, and at the same time, they're ignoring God's will and they're living together. It's like it never dawned on them that God might not bother to show them who they should marry while they're ignoring his instructions on how to date. It is flawed thinking to assume that choosing the right mate will trump living in disobedience. And when we do things like that, we kind of treat God as a part-time blueprint consultant. We turn to him for the really big decisions, but someone who's not particularly relevant for the day-to-day stuff. One commentator wrote, "Here's the rub. God doesn't do consulting. He does God. He's in charge at all times." So I'm kind of painting with a broad brush. It's not fair to say that everyone who seeks a detailed blueprint in God's life ignores his day-to-day commands, but a blueprint mindset turns our focus more on finding God's will than it does on becoming the person God wants us to be as a follower of Jesus Christ. So I think seeing God's will as a game plan is a more accurate model of how we should understand his work. He gives us basic guidelines, principles to follow in the scripture. And with those basics in hand, we know what to do and what not to do and how to think and how to live, no matter how unusual the situation around us may be. So let's now look at some of the basics for discovering God's will. First of all, we need to obey what we already know. If we focus on being obedient to the commands and instructions of God that we already know, it will lead us into more light, further understanding of God's will. And that helps to explain why it's such a waste of time, really, to seek God's leading for major crossroads decisions if we're currently disobeying him in the things we already know. Did you hear that? It's a waste of time to seek God's leading for a major crossroads decision if we're currently disobeying him in the things we already know. We can pray all we want, but if we're in the midst of disobedience, God won't answer. So let me relate that to the church. There could be some major transitions this year. Be calling for a new pastor. I hope we are praying for God's will as we seek a new pastor. But if we think the answer to the future of our church is simply finding the right man for that job, we are mistaken. Because it is more important for us to be living as a church in obedience to Christ today and being the church today that God wants us to be. And if we're not obeying Christ, if we're not sharing our faith, if we are allowing sin in our lives, if we are choosing, you know, if our desires under the church are more selfish than they are Great Commission centered. We want our church in the future to play the music I want. We want the church in the future to do things the way we always did them. We want the church to do things in the future in some way that I think we should go rather than what the rest of the body wants to do. If we are only interested in finding a person, but we're not interested in living for Christ today and being the people that God wants to be, why should God answer? Why should He answer our prayers to find the right person? We need to be obedient to what we know. The second thing is we should think biblically. We should master God's basics. An athlete can't follow a game plan if he misses all the team meetings. And it's hard to follow God's game plan if we don't know what the scriptures say, what they actually say, as opposed to what we think they might say. And I think the current state of biblical illiteracy among Christians is far from encouraging. You remember the WWDG bracelets people use? You know, what would Jesus do? Most of them had no idea what Jesus would do because they didn't know what Jesus actually did. And it's not enough to make our best guesses on those. God's game plan often is too counterintuitive for that. None of us is likely to come up with things like loving our enemies, serving those we lead, keeping our word at all costs. These kinds of responses come from spending time with the playbook, the Bible. We need to master the basics. In sports, the basics are called the fundamentals, and they're needed to play the game, whether it's tennis, golf, football. There are certain skills that everyone has to master in order to have a chance to win, and that holds true for discovering God's will. The fundamentals are made up of clear black and white commands in the scriptures. They tell us explicitly what God wants us to do or not in any situation. They tell us to speak the truth, to be kind, to always repay evil with good. And no matter how difficult the decision or the dilemma may be, you can always count on the fundamentals to steer you back in the right situation. So here is a key couple of verses. You say, this is all great, Pastor Larry, but where's your biblical base for this? A key passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of Scripture, has said to us about this issue of blueprint versus game plan. Okay? He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You hear what Paul's saying here? God has a game plan for you. To be living sacrifices, to live holy lives, pleasing to God, as you understand that from the scriptures. Follow God's game plan. Then, he says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Follow God's game plan, and He will show you His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Part of that will is being the person that God wants you to be, rather than trying simply to find what His desire is for you in the future. You see, the most basic thing of all Scripture, those passages that go so far as to specifically say, this is what God wants. This is God's will. Here's one of those passages, Romans 12:1. It tells you, this is how you determine God's will for your life. Follow the game plan. And there are many passages such as this. If you want a place to start in determining God's will, look for those passages of Scripture which specifically say, this is what God wants. This is God's will for your life. For example, we're told that everyone who wants to come to the point of repentance, all of these scriptures I'm about to make are listed down here. We need to look for scriptures that explicitly teach this is what God wants or this is God's will. The scriptures specifically tell us that God wants everyone to come to a point of repentance, a spiritual turnaround that results in following Jesus. That's 2 Peter 3:9. So it's not worth asking God to lead you in some major life decision if you're not willing to follow Jesus on a daily basis in a life of repentance and a life of service to Christ. The Bible tells us that it's God's will that every Christian be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. If we're looking for God's direction in some big decision, but we're ignoring the Holy Spirit and every other matter of our life, why should God lead us in that big decision? He wants us to be sexually pure, to put off or to avoid all forms of immorality. Ephesians 5:3 will tell you that. Galatians 5:19 through 21. He specifically tells us there are certain godly attributes that we are called to put on each day. Galatians 5:22 through 24, the fruit of the Spirit. It's His will that we respond with respect and obedience to godly to those who are in authority. Hebrews 13:7. Isn't it amazing how folks can try to seek God's specific leading for some big decision in their lives, yet ignore the fundamentals of the game plan? Don't ignore the fundamentals of the game plan. Those are foundational for following God's will in life. Obey what you know. Discover the basics from scriptures that teach us what God's will is. Most of God's will is simply in black and white in scripture. Before we seek to find God's will, we need to be doing God's will. And so, does God have a blueprint for my life? Is everything all spelled out? Well, there are times when He has specific things that He calls us to do in major life decisions. We've seen some examples of that. Paul being told you can't go into Asia Minor, go to Macedonia. But there's a lot more freedom in our lives to make decisions for the Lord as we follow His general game plan. I think it is not true that in every decision that we have to make, God says, here is what you need to do. It may very well be, take your pick, but follow God's game plan as you do it. What I am certain about, what I think is confirmed, God does have a game plan for our lives. He has given us numerous statements in the scriptures in black and white of what He calls for us to do. He has given us numerous teachings in the scriptures as to how we are to live and how we can live according to His will. So let's sum it up this way. Our job as Christians is not so much to find something in regard to God's will as it is to become someone, to be a reflection of the image and character of Jesus Christ in every situation in which we find ourselves. Doing God's will is more a matter of becoming than finding, because doing God's will is about becoming more and more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, there is a place in our lives where You have said, here's the path, here's the decision that we are to make. And we are told that one of those decisions is the decision to place our trust and faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Jesus is pretty clear about that when he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is a blueprint that when we deviate from it, it will lead to destruction. But Father, I pray that each day we will be open to your Spirit, open to the teachings of Scriptures, that we will make choices day by day that honor you, that help us more and more because of our faith, because of our deep appreciation for the great mercy and forgiveness that you have given to us as sinners who don't deserve eternal life, but who have been given the blessing of eternal life, that we make decisions day by day that honor you. And sometimes there are decisions that are equally moral, equally right. We have our choices to make them, but we need to make them based on the game plan, what you have revealed to us through the Scriptures. Help us not to just seek your will in those big decisions of life. Help us to seek your will daily in every act that we make, every action that we do. Help us, Father, that in seeking your will moment by moment and day by day, we become more like your Son, Jesus. And in so doing, that we give a witness to this world of the transforming power that comes through him. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, Lynn, is?
Our closing hymn is 496, Burn in Me, Fire of God. Please stand.
Faith in him, would you come today as we sing?
Burn in me, fire of God.
We have coming today Alan and Helen Jarvis, who are with us, have been worshiping with us, they are coming today to join into our fellowship by transfer of letter. And I know that you praise God for their decision today.
Amen.
And we have been so delighted. You've been up this way living with your daughter and son-in-law for the last couple of years and have been worshiping with us. And we just praise God for your desire to be part of this church fellowship. And I'm going to ask you to join me in the back so that our people can greet you and let you know of their joy in your decision as well. And I know it is our joy today to welcome them into our church family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Glenn, I'm going to ask you if you would lead in our benediction, and we're going to walk down this hallway, right down this. Let's go on down.
Father, we thank you for this time and the word today. Thank you for a great, we desire to do your will in our lives, that you would lead us and guide us in the paths that you want us to walk through. And so, God, go with us now as we go to our time of Sunday school. And I pray for the second service as well, that it would be a glorious time in worship and word, glorifying you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please take your